Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I want you to have a personal invitation from me to stay tuned. Please listen. Please lock in. Stay with me. Could be the most important 30 minutes in your life. This show is called The Flatline, F-L-O-T. And you know it's always about motivation and inspiration, a whole lot of education. And if you've listened before, you've heard me say no manipulation. That's right. We do not try to con anybody. We're not here trying to solicit your membership in anything. We don't need your money. We're not trying to sell you something. The only thing this radio show has to offer is proof or truth. Truth from the Bible, the Word of God. Yeah, it is a talk show about the Bible, but it's not a dialogue. It's not people calling in to give their opinion. It's a monologue. It's me talking to you. My objective is very simple. Verify and identify God's plan for your life. Your objective, if you want to do it, is orient and adjust to the plan. But my job is to be accurate, to be simple, to get it right, and to put it in your hands so that you can make decisions. You are a product of your decisions. You are a product of your decisions. I learned a long time ago that I cannot change anyone but myself. You must make the decision in regards to everything in your life. And remember, a simple cliche I learned many years ago. The cliche is this: bad decisions limit future options. Bad decisions limit future options. You and I are victims of our own decisions. We all have equal privilege and equal opportunity. The opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ and to receive Him as our Savior. And the privilege to take God's Word, learn it, use it, and apply it into our lives so that we can have a phenomenal life while we travel through the devil's world. This show, The Flatline, is about giving you that accurate information, not some kind of useless human speculation called human viewpoint thinking, but accurate information based on the Scriptures, the Word of God. You know, we talk about the flot line, F-L-O-T, the forward line of troops, establishing that main line of resistance inside of your very soul, that main line of resistance that is made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices, so that you can stop the outside systems of adversity, the pressure of adversity, before it becomes the inside pressure of stress. Yes, you've heard me say, and I'll say it many more times, that adversity is inevitable. It's inevitable, but stress is optional. Adversity is what you do to yourself or what circumstances do to you, but stress, now that's, you're responsible for that. You stress yourself out. That's what you do to yourself. In spite of the adversity that may be even self-induced, you create that stress by worrying. You create that stress by being bitter. You create that stress by feeling guilt. You're not able to handle some things in your life. And it's amazing how some people try to get rid of stress through drink or exercise or music or whatever. And that's a human way of trying to handle a problem inside the soul. You know, here's the bottom line. We are all soulish creatures. We are all soulish creatures. We all have a soul. You know, on the outside, we may be gray-headed, may be black-headed, even red-headed. But inside, the invisible, immortal part of me and the invisible, immortal part of you is the soul. It is what God created at birth. And it is the soul that will live forever. Not your body, but your soul. Your body has a sin-infected human nature. And that sin-infected human nature is going to go back to the grave. It's going to turn back to dust, the dust that it came from. But it is your soul that will live forever in a new body. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, a resurrection body. Now, let's talk about this soul for just a minute, and Let's talk about something called, we're going to entitle our study today, Soul Stability. Soul Stability. And by the way, if you ever want to get any of these messages, all you have to do is contact me. Simply go to the website, www.bigrick.org, bigrick.org. There you can shoot me an email and we can send you an MP3 of these messages, many messages if you want. We can put all the radio shows, all 300 of them on the MP3 if you'd like to listen on a daily basis. Or we can send you some of the books that we've mentioned and talked about, such as the book called Christian Problem Solving. It deals with these 10 unique problem-solving devices that I'm teaching you right now. And then we have another book called Practicing Your Christianity and another book called Understanding Your Soul. These books are free. We'll be more than happy to send you one if you contact us. Don't worry about trying to send money. We don't need the money. We're not asking for money. But if you'd like to have the information, if you're growing in grace, if you're learning something from this radio show, we would love to hear from you and love to hear what God is doing in your life. Now, what about this stability of soul? Well, first of all, let's talk about this. All of us, when we are born with a body and with a soul. We are dichotomous. We have two parts to us. We have a body and we have a soul. Now listen, when Adam was created, there were three parts. Adam was trichotomous. Adam had a body in the garden. He had a soul and he had a spirit. But God the Father told Adam, the day you eat of that forbidden fruit, and it wasn't an apple, okay, but the day you eat, he said, you can have anything in this garden, but do not, that one thing, don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that. And Adam did it. Because God told him, the day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Now, he did not die physically when he ate of that fruit. He died spiritually. Spiritual death. The Bible says, for by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And now death has passed on all men, for all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. So we are born physically alive, but we are born spiritually dead. Adam lost that human spirit and died spiritually. Was Adam born again? Did Adam receive new birth? And the answer is yes, he did. God did forgive him, and Adam did receive the new birth. And it's the same birth that Jesus talks about in John chapter 3. Our Lord was approached by Nicodemus at night, and Nicodemus, having a body and having a soul, inquired of the Lord Jesus Christ about who he really was. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And he was a bit taken back by that because he said, well, that's quite impossible. I can't go up inside of my mother's womb and have another birth. And the Lord said, that's not what we're talking about. It's spiritual, not physical. Spiritual birth, not physical. So here you come into the world, and you come into the world in a body. You possess a soul, and you are dead spiritually. And when you come to the cross, when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're born again. Not physically, not soulishly, but spiritually, so that now you're able to have a relationship with God. Now your dead human spirit is reactivated, born again, indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. And now, as the Bible says, if you want to have fellowship with God, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way, the life, and the truth. So let's talk about this thing for a minute. As a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a body. First of all, is God impressed with your body? Not necessarily. He tells us to take care of the body, not to abuse the body. And that can mean don't become addicted to smoking, don't become addicted to drinking, don't become addicted to too many chickens every day. You know, preachers are good about eating too much chicken and meatloaf. And they get addicted just like the guy that's addicted to smoking and drinking or whatever. So the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then Jesus Christ lives inside of our body. So we are to preserve the body to the best of our ability and not abuse it. And secondly, the Bible tells us that we have a soul. The soul resides in the body. Now let's talk about the soul. If you're going to have stability of soul, you must know what the soul is. Your soul starts off with mentality. To have a soul, you have mentality. Now, not everybody has the same mentality. Some people have an IQ of about room temperature. And some people have an IQ of the temperature of the sun. They're pretty hot, pretty bright people. Those are the folks that wind up being our doctors and our lawyers or whatever. Bright, brilliant sort of people. On the other hand, you have folks like me that really work hard to get whatever they learn because it doesn't come naturally. We don't have that photographic memory. You know, we have to study, study, study to get it. But we have a mentality. And the mentality is what we think. The Bible clearly says we are what we think, not what we think we are. Man is what he thinks. He has a mentality. And in the Bible, that mentality is described in two ways. The word heart is used, and also the word mind is used. So there are two parts to your mentality, your heart and your mind. They are two different Greek words. I said Greek because the New Testament was written in Greek, and the writers wrote these words using the word mind. That Greek word for mind is nous, N-O-U-S, nous. And the Greek word for the heart is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. We get English word cardia, and that means cardiac, and the heart. And then nous or gnosis comes from the word knowledge or Gnostic, or Gnosticism, whatever. So you have a mind, you have a heart. When you receive information, it comes into your mind. It's processed. And if you use it, it's cycled over to the heart, where it's stored. And from the heart, this is where all decisions take place. So the mind is the processor, and the heart is the applier. That's kind of the way the New Testament teaches it. You hear the Word of God, and you process it in your mind. But then you apply it when it's stored in your heart. And when you need it, then you pull it out of your frame of reference, out of your memory center, and you apply that information, and it guides you through life. That's why Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, "Happiness belongs to the man who hears my Father's word and who keeps it." Luke 11:27 and 28. So in the mentality of your soul, you can have stability. You can have stable thoughts. You don't have to vacillate. You don't have to second guess yourself. You don't have to live in fear of failure. You know, that's the wonderful thing about operating under the plan of God. Once you understand the protocol plan of God, you can have complete confidence in every decision that you make because you know it's covered by the grace of God. You know that God is leading and directing your path. And you know that he's got your back. You're not out there by yourself. That's a wonderful way to have stability in your thinking, not to be on an emotional roller coaster. And by the way, the emotions, let's talk about this for just a minute. The emotions. Some people say they are part of the format of the soul as well. I'm not sure. Maybe they are. Maybe they aren't. But the emotions are always the appreciator. Those emotions usually respond to certain situations, or they react to certain situations. If you see a beautiful sunset, or a magnificent storm forming, or a magnificent panorama view, your emotions may respond with great appreciation. Or if you're attacked or criticized or critiqued in an unfair way, then your emotions may react with anger, with bitterness. So if you're going to live a stable life, you have to first of all learn this. You cannot let your emotions control you. You cannot live under emotional revolt of the soul. You can't let your emotions take over. Because if your emotions take over and you quit thinking and you start acting, you see, emotions don't think. Emotions act. Emotions don't have the ability to process. The mind can process. The emotions don't process. They just respond or react. And if you let your emotions take over, you will make decisions that you may or may not regret later on in your life. So you have a mentality, and your mentality has a heart, has a mind. There's two parts to it. And all thoughts, all thinking, every decision that you make originates in your mind. It begins with a thought, and then from that thought comes a motive, and then from that motive comes an action, and then from that action comes the result. So you are a victim of your thoughts. It all starts with your thoughts. Now here's something really you got to get in your mind here. You got to understand this. You're not a victim of your environment. Don't blame your bad decisions on your bad parents. Don't blame your bad decisions on where you grew up or what you were exposed to. There are a lot of magnificent people, world-changing people, who grew up in worse circumstances than you and I did. It doesn't affect the way you live your life unless you get into arrogance and begin to feel sorry for yourself and begin to look for someone else to blame for all of your mistakes. You are a victim of your decisions. You have the privilege to receive Jesus Christ, the opportunity to learn God's Word and live it and use it. You have the opportunity to be a magnificent person if you don't let your emotions control you. If you will think, if you will take the Word of God and learn it and use it and apply it into your life, you can defeat your sin nature. Yes, you do have a sin nature. You got it from Adam. And the sin nature is really good at manipulating your emotions and getting you to make decisions based on your emotions, to feel sorry for yourself, to get into operation self-pity, and then to say, well, I deserve to do this. I deserve this or that. And then when you do this or that, whatever it may be, well, then you feel guilty about it, and then your conscience kicks in. See, that's part of your soul as well, the conscience. You have a conscience that has been programmed from birth. Your norms, your standards were given you at birth. Your norms and standards include what you believe or don't believe. So let's assume, just for the sake of assuming, that when you grew up, your parents taught you right and wrong. They taught you hygiene. They taught you to brush your teeth. They taught you to potty. They taught you to put on clean clothes. And then maybe you went to church and your pastor taught you the Word of God. And every decision that you make is based on these things stored in your conscience, your norms and your standards. So when you begin to violate the norms and standards that you've learned from the early days of your childhood, then you're violating the very thing that is supposed to protect you. Your conscience is an evaluator of your soul. It contains those norms and those standards. And it's there to protect you so that you don't self-destruct. And any decent parent, any good parent, will program the conscience of their child so that their conscience is a protector, a guardian, a castle around their soul, so that they do not allow their emotions to take control and to destroy them. If you allow your emotions to take control in love, if you allow your emotions to take control in finances, if you allow your emotions to take control in relationships with other people, you can destroy yourself. and destroy other people in the process. So you have to understand soul stability, the ability to think logically, the ability to be stable, starts with you learning God's Word, with you having a new way to live, which is called living under divine viewpoint. Living under divine viewpoint, not what we call AI, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is made up of two things, arrogance and ignorance. Arrogance and ignorance, that's artificial intelligence. Divine viewpoint is what comes from the Bible. So if you base your thinking on divine viewpoint, the first thing you're going to learn is God means you no harm. God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to protect you. And who is he trying to protect you from? Well, from yourself, obviously. Now, you also have an enemy called the devil who goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he could devour. The Bible is clear on that. But you are your own worst enemy. When you don't have a stable soul, when your emotions take control and you vacillate, when your volition begins to make bad decisions that have repercussions because you shut your conscience down, you're not listening to the bells that are screaming, to the whistles that are going off. You're not listening, and you know you shouldn't do such and such, but you in your arrogance, you justify why it's okay for you to do some things. And when you justify what you know is wrong deep inside of you, that's arrogant. And self-justification leads to self-deception. Self-deception always leads to self-absorption and then self-destruction. You know, the Bible is clear that we as believers have a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body, the soul, and the spirit. The Bible is clear saying that a natural man or a man who's not a Christian only has a body and a soul. In what is in 1 Corinthians 2:14, for example, the natural man, quote, cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they're foolishness to him, because they're spiritually discerned. You see, the only way that you can get anything from God is through the Spirit. And if you don't have a human spirit, if you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit who indwells your human spirit, then your communication with God is not there. It's null and void. You can't understand it. See, God has a plan, and that plan is a phenomenal plan for you, but it's a plan based on your spiritual life. And if you don't have a spiritual life, then the plan doesn't work. It's ineffective. It's not there. So you must have a human spirit to have a stable soul. You must have a human spirit to have a stable soul. And the human spirit is reactivated, regenerated, or reborn at spiritual birth when you believe in Jesus Christ. And you see, when you get saved, it's not just your body. Your body is going back to the ground, but it's your soul and your spirit that are going to heaven. That's what's going to heaven. And then you're going to get a new body, a body made in heaven called a resurrection body. And it's the body that you'll live in forever. You know the soul is where the worst sins occur in believers' lives? Inside the mentality of your soul, mental attitude sins. These are the killers. Oh, maybe you can play poker and fool people. Maybe you dress up and fool people. People think you're stable. People think you're okay because of the image you project. But inside of the mentality of your soul, you're bitter. Inside of the mentality of your soul, you're insecure. You're angry and you're full of guilt. Whatever it might be, you are trying to fool people. And these mental attitude sins, they're the worst of all. Usually, when a person speaks, you can tell what's in his soul. If you listen to people talk, if you listen to what comes out of their mouth, then you can tell what's inside the soul. Are they bitter? Are they remorseful? What do they talk about? Then you know what they're thinking about. see, the thinking is part of the soul, and what they talk about is what they're thinking about. And when people begin to malign or criticize other people, to malign other people, then you know they're full of mental attitude sins. You know they're arrogant and they're bitter and they want to take revenge, and they'll malign people, talk about certain people, and their soul becomes very miserable. You don't have to have a miserable soul. You can have a stable soul. You can have a soul that is full of joy and happiness. You can have a mentality that doesn't have regret. You can have a mentality that doesn't vacillate. You can have a volition that makes good decisions. You can have emotions that don't manipulate you and control you. Yes, you can. You can have a conscience that guides you, a conscience that oversees every decision that you make and protects you from self-destruction. That's possible, but only by having a spiritual life, only by advancing in the plan of God. And the way you're going to advance in the plan of God, well, you're going to learn these 10 problem-solving devices, and then you're going to grow spiritually under the ministry of a qualified pastor who's going to teach you the Bible, going to teach you God's Word, and you're going to be able to serve God in your local church and glorify God by every decision that you make. That's why it's important that you come to understand these things. That's why they're so critical to your life. The very happiness that you have in your life depends on it. And maybe that is why, if you've listened to me today, maybe that's why you've been so miserable lately. Maybe that's why your life doesn't make any sense lately. You have no stability in your soul. Your soul is like that washing machine that's turned to the agitator process when it's agitating the clothes, trying to shake the dirt out. Maybe your mind is very agitated, very shaky, and you're not able to see straight. You're not able to concentrate because of situations that you've gotten yourself in. Remember what the Bible says. If we will confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. The first problem-solving device that you and I must use is rebound. Get back in fellowship. Allow the Holy Spirit to control your life again. Use the faith rest drill. Orient to grace and get with the Word, and you can be the person God intended for you to be. You are a victim of your decisions and your choices. It's up to you. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.